on these IRC retreats, it's fairly typical to give the instructions in the morning as a kind of guided meditation. So before I start that, I'd like to say a few words about the instruction. The basic idea of mindfulness is to have a clear awareness, clear recognition of what's happening in the moment. And anything that's happening in the moment, especially anything that's predominant, is equally valid and useful as an object of that awareness. However, because the mind can be, have a mind of its own, the mind can all too easily get pulled into the world of its thoughts. It's often useful at the beginning of a sitting, beginning of a retreat, to focus on stabilizing practices, practices that help us to arrive here, practices that steady the mind, the heart, the body, so that we're steady in the present moment. We're stable here and now. And so here at IRC, it's often common then to begin the first day with breathing. For many people, not everyone, the breathing is a useful focus of attention that brings some concentration, some stability, steadiness. That works as a way of beginning to reduce the tremendous investment we put into our thoughts, the pull into that world. And by keeping it really, really simple, breathing, we don't have to do a lot of thinking and figuring and solving and be fooled into having to think a lot about things. And to use the breathing as a steadying practice. And then to continue with a steadying, centering practice, we then second day, which will be today, we often talk about mindfulness of body. Being embodied in the present moment is really key and really helpful. And the third day, we do mindfulness of emotions. Fourth day, mindfulness of thinking. And then the fifth day could be a variety of things that we instruct. But in a sense, by the fifth day, the mindfulness is more open and inclusive of everything. So we're steadily kind of opening, in a sense, the awareness to a wider field of our experience. With the assumption that if we focus too much on thinking, mindfulness of thinking at the beginning, it's too easy to just think more. And it's also for many people, with the steadiness of breath meditation, it's easier to be embodied. The more we can be embodied in mindfulness of the body, the easier it is to be mindful of emotions. The better we're able to be mindful of emotions, the more useful is the attention that is mindful of thoughts. So it's kind of a journey of building this foundation. And the simplest instructions for the body, mindfulness of the body, is if something is, some experience of the body is more compelling, predominant than your focus on breathing, you can, if you want, let go of the focus on breathing and take that predominant physical experience as a subject for mindfulness, for attention. It's completely valid. And then as we steady ourselves, be aware of what's happening in the body, perhaps keeping an eye on how we're aware. Are we aware with aversion or with wanting or hesitation or striving? And experimenting to see if how we're aware of the body can be steady, a relaxed commitment to be present, open, allowing, accepting, clear recognition of what's happening. And if it's no longer compelling or predominant, to begin again with the breathing. And as a way of the guided meditation, I'll do a little exercise with you to give you some sense of how to practice mindfulness of the body. And to begin, you might look around in your body and mind and recognize how you're already stable, steady. There might be plenty of instability in your mind and body. That's okay. But it's a matter of degree, how stable we are or where. And you might take a few moments to notice the degree to which there's physical stability in your body as you sit here. Physical steadiness. Perhaps an embodied sense of stillness. That maybe can be the vantage point or the context for feeling whatever instability there might be here. Rather than stabilizing yourself, recognizing the stability that's already here. And allow for it, open to it, breathe with it, appreciate its presence. It might be the contact of your body to the chair or the cushion. The stability might be found somewhere in the uprightness of the torso. Or perhaps a deep inner stillness in the torso. It might be a kind of broad glow of awareness or sensations or vibration throughout your body. And then bring your attention to your right hand. In a simple way, feel that whatever sensations happen to show themselves in your right hand. In the palm of your hand. The back of your hand, the fingers. There might be tingling and vibration, warmth or coolness. Lightness or heaviness, contact, softness and hardness. And those sensations of your hand might be moving or jumping around, appearing here or there in the hand. And as you're aware of the sensations of your right hand, as you exhale, steady the mind on the hand. See if you can allow for the stability of attention that's not pushing or striving or trying too much. Almost like a stability or a steadiness that might feel more like a resting of attention with the hand. And with whatever stability there is in the body and the mind, notice if there's any instability in how you're aware of the right hand. With wanting or aversion or doubt or annoyance or over-eagerness. All those are forms of subtle agitation. It's okay that they're there. But it could be good to just know it, recognize it, and see if you can give priority to a stiller, simpler awareness of sensations of your right hand. And then switch your attention to your left hand. And settle yourself, stabilize yourself, so you can better experience the variety of sensations that come into play in your left hand. And if there's a lot of thinking, perhaps there's a way you can relax the thinking muscle. Any sense of pressure or tension, agitation in the area of your control tower. Maybe as you exhale, softening, relaxing, opening the thinking muscle. And then receiving the sensations of your left hand again. Steadying yourself there. And the steadying and stability might be brief. That's okay. When it goes away, the practice is simply, in a relaxed way, begin again, and again, and again. And now bring your attention to that area of your body where you experience breathing. And not exactly focusing on the breathing there, but for a few minutes, experience whatever sensations appear and disappear in the part of your body where you focus, when you focus on breathing. Whatever warmth or glow or tingling or vibration or movement or pressure or tightening or loosening, whatever sensations happen to be in that area, steady yourself there. Supported by the stability of the body and whatever stability of mind you can have, steady yourself in the experience of, in that area where you tend to experience breathing. Stability or steadiness that is not made by the mind so much as arises out of the body. Stability that arises out of itself, not from the control tower. And you might stay now with your breathing, but if some other sensation arises in your body that's more compelling, experiment with bringing your awareness to that part of your body in the same way that you did for the right hand. And when it's no longer compelling, you could go back to your breathing. Notice perhaps if you're in thinking, the instability or the agitation in thinking. And then focus on, notice the stability that's here below the thinking or in the body, or in some way, quality of being with your breathing, settling into the breathing. See if you can notice the way in which awareness can be simple, steady, open, stable, free of anxiety or wanting or reaching or pulling away, being for or against. A simplicity of awareness which has a stillness to it, an openness to it, that doesn't want anything or need anything. That perhaps has some feeling of being nourishing or a goodness in it, or is satisfying. And if you have some small sense of that kind of awareness, trust it. Trust it as you bring awareness to breathing or the sensations of your body. In a sense, perhaps you can open your body into that awareness. Open that awareness into your body. The medium through which this practice unfolds is awareness. And awareness is a phenomenal human capacity that takes many shapes and forms over time. I think of it a little bit like water that will take the shape of any container you put it in. And so it can, on its own, can it be used or appear in different ways. But if we have a sense of the variety and variations of how awareness appears, we could also use it in different ways. So, for example, sometimes awareness can be very intimate with experience, really close. Sometimes awareness can be broad and spacious and almost like you're watching from the hilltop far away, just looking at things broadly, and things are a little bit distant. Awareness can be narrow, or can be broad. It can be very focused on a particular point. And it can be as expansive as the universe. No one of them is the point, or the. But at different times, they appear in different ways. And one of the forms of awareness that I feel can be very, very helpful is the awareness that is centered in the body. It's so central to the Buddha's teaching, mindfulness of the body, that I wish that we had translated sati as bodyfulness instead of mindfulness. The feel, you know, so many of our nerve endings, sense ending, you know, feel sensations are spread throughout the body. So there's a way of sensing or feeling this field of open awareness that radiates or through the body, out of the body. And it creates such a good ballast to be centered and grounded in the body for being aware of everything else, including what goes on in the mind. And so spending time on retreat to come back, drop into your body, allow your body to show its, let you, to inform you about how it's living, how it's experiencing life. It's really helpful. Come back, body. And let that experience be simple. You don't need to analyze it a lot or come to grand conclusions about what it all means. And just to rest in the body and feel and be aware from that point of view. And then the idea of stability or steadiness or concentration or stillness, all these happens in degrees as opposed to either or. And some minds prefer either or thinking. And then, you know, you're either right or wrong. It's either the right way or the wrong way. But if you think of it as degrees, then you can free yourself from doing it right or wrong. It's just, oh, just that's in the range of how it could be. This is how it is now. And so, and then maybe it's easier to appreciate the degree to which maybe there is stability or stillness that's here. And we don't have to get agitated by not being all or nothing. But what you're aware of sometimes is the thing that gets supported or gets fed. So if we focus a lot on anxious awareness, the awareness which is imbued or impregnated with anxiety, there's a subtle way or not so subtle way in which we're reinforcing or feeding the anxiety. But if we're prioritizing a little bit the our capacity for for steady awareness or stable awareness, open awareness maybe, then this wonderful food of attention is kind of nourishing that, supporting that. And so, without trying too hard, you might be here at the retreat center today, giving some priority to notice and feel the places where you're embodied and mindfulness of the body, caring for your body, and the stability that might be here, the degree to which there's some stillness, stability in the body, in the mind, in the heart. And perhaps that can be a support, and maybe even a loving support, a gentle support, for the awareness to want to be here and accompany you as you go through the day. One little area of steadiness, stability that can support the practice is to, in various times, have a steadiness of purpose. And what I mean is, if you're on one end of the bottom of the steps here, and you're going to want to go get tea, so the purpose is to walk to the tea area. And all you got to do is walk in that direction. You know, setting the autopilot on going into the tea area is pretty simple for human beings, right? But have a steadiness of purpose. Just walk to the tea area. And to have that steadiness of, this is what I'm doing, and clarity, and just do it steadily. Maybe you decide at this point not to look at the noteboard, not to read for the 10th time the schedule of the day, not to wonder, you look out the door, the window or something, say, what's the weather or something. All those things are fine to do. But if you have the steadiness that this is what I've decided to do, is to walk to the tea area and maintain that steadiness. That's all. Very simple. Going to the bathroom, showering, eating, walking up the steps. So you might experiment a little bit, maybe in a loving way, in a supportive way, to see if you can have a steadiness of purpose in what you do through the day. And that helps kind of support you not be agitated, or not, doesn't reinforce the jumping around mind or the preoccupied mind. It reinforces the ability to be simple and steady and here. And the mind perhaps gets a little bit more, easy, enjoyable to be here, because the conditions are supporting that. And if what I'm saying doesn't quite work for you or doesn't make sense to you, you don't have to worry about it. That just, if you don't, it doesn't make sense, then that's maybe, to try to do it makes you more agitated, which don't bother then. And that steadiness of purpose can be very effective to use when you're doing the actual walking meditation. Okay, this is what I'm doing. I'm just doing walking meditation. I'm not doing flower-gazing meditation. I'm not doing people-watching meditation. I'm here just to do the walk. And of course, your mind will get pulled into other things, and it's not a crime to look at the flowers. But to have a kind of, a gentle sense of purpose, this is what I'm here to do, and be clear about that, can make it a little bit easier for the whole psychophysical system to begin organizing itself around just doing the walking, this experience. And some people, I've done this, where you start doing walking meditation, I'm kind of here to do it, I know what to do, I'm kind of doing it, kind of. But, I could be more into it without a lot of effort. It's like, sometimes I only realize that after it's over. Wait a minute, I didn't have to be thinking about I don't want to say, because then I'll give you something to think about. Today at 6 p.m., we're going to have a meeting with Inez and I, with the six service leaders that we have, the four cooks and the two managers. And we're kind of the eight people who have the kind of the higher level of overview and responsibility for the retreat. And so twice during the retreat we meet to kind of check in and both to kind of get an overview of what's happening and of the retreat and caring for it. But also the being a service leader is an important form of training, Buddhist training, that has a different flavor than, you know, meditation practice or meditation training. So we also talk about a little bit about what it's like to train in the service, practice in the service role. And it's a very rich for the people who do it. And so so we'll meet in room one at 6 o'clock. And those of you who are not coming to it, you might hear some talk, you know, even some, you know, laughter sometimes coming out of that room. So that's what we're doing. So please enjoy your day, and I hope it's... Yes?
Just question or write a note.
Yeah, we don't usually take questions at the end of the Dharma talk. I mean, an instruction sits here, so you can leave a note for us and we'll try to answer. And so we're doing the practice discussion today. That's a place you can also, if you have it today, you can ask then. And Inez is meeting with people in room one, which is right next to the office in the big room, community hall downstairs. And I'm meeting with people in room 100, which is down the hall by the elevator behind the manager's office and around to the left. And if you could just be nearby, not too close, but not too far away, within eyesight of the door, a little bit before your time. And then when the person comes out, you can just come in. And we're looking forward to meeting with you. Thank you.